You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. The We Honor Veterans program is a national initiative in partnership with hospices around the country. The Veterans Administration and the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization to raise awareness of veteran culture and to also acknowledge patients and to thank them for their military service, as well as finding opportunities to meet their needs and desires during end-of-life care. And if you might recall, last year, right before Memorial Day, a wish granter's flight for a dying Vietnam veteran in Boise was one example of how St. Luke's Hospice implements the We Honor Veterans program. Joining me live in studio to talk more about hospice and the We Honor Veterans program are Kennette McWilliams, a hospice social worker, Craig Kennedy, a hospice chaplain, and Becky Rudell, an RN case manager. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So for people who may not be familiar with hospice care, talk to me, Kennette, about what hospice is.
So hospice is really comes into play when a patient's been diagnosed with a terminal condition, when the physician feels that the disease process has a life expectancy of 6 months or less. Mm. And so we meet with the families to discuss what are their goals of care. Are they wanting to explore more curative type treatments, or are they wanting to focus more on comfort and quality of life? And so our goal in hospice is really to manage whatever symptoms they're having, pain, which comes in many forms and fashions, physical pain, functional pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain, financial pain. So as a team of nurse, social worker, bath aide, chaplain, volunteer, and our medical directors, we surround and embrace these patients and their families, whoever their family is identified to be.
And if you have never had to use hospice, I think there you just don't realize what amazing work hospice professionals do. My father and my brother both went through hospice. It is this gathering together of people to have a safe space to land in a way.
Yeah.
And so Craig, when we talk about the We Honor Veterans program and that culture of veterans, and whomever feels comfortable answering that question, but I thought that was very interesting about figuring out the culture of veterans, because is that different than, you know, a person who's never been in the military?
Yeah, it can be. As a veteran of the Army for 31 years, there are some unique aspects, challenges, you know, that needs that veterans face that normal civilians don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so the We Honor Veterans program, really with the VA in conjunction, like you said, with the Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, got together and decided there's some of these unique challenges we want to address that sometimes deal with homelessness or substance abuse or traumatic events that they've experienced in their service to our country. And then if we'll just take a little bit of time to listen to that, you know, respectfully, to hear their story, tailor our care to meet those needs, you know, where they are, they have a much better, like you said, softer place to land. They have a much better way. They feel understood. They feel heard. They feel cared for in a way that, you know, speaks their language. And so our social workers do a great job at intake for admission to find out through a checklist kind of what their background is like so that we can tailor our care to that.
And there is an organization called Wish Granters, if people haven't heard of this. It's similar. We've all heard of Make-A-Wish, which is for children who are dealing with an illness, whether it is terminal or catastrophic. And Wish Granters is similar for adults. And so, Becky, what I alluded to in the beginning was this Wish Granter / We Honor Veterans program for a gentleman, for a Vietnam veteran last year, Don Coons. Talk to me about how this came about, because he was just talking with his social worker.
Right, he was. And it came about with the social worker asking him what his wish was. And so we knew that he was a Vietnam veteran who served at the Kramer compound at Quai Nai as a bird dog pilot. And it was his job to fly over and the jungle, the dense jungle, and look for enemy troops. He was shot at on a regular basis, and at one time his plane was shot down, and he landed on treetops and had to climb out of the plane and get down off the tree. So we know he had quite a history with his work. At another point in his visit there, his compound was ambushed in the middle of the night, and he lost several of his very close friends. So ever since then, he did suffer some PTSD almost mm-hmm. nightly at the time mm-hmm. of night when he was ambushed, waking up and having a difficult time falling mm-hmm. back asleep. So when he came back from Vietnam, he, like many other vets, was spit upon mm-hmm. and he was called a baby killer. And those words wounded him deeply. Mm-hmm. And we knew that. So he was just a very complex person. So when we found out he wanted to do this flight, we were all on it. The social worker happened to know a friend who was a Cessna pilot, and through the funding of the Wish Granters, we were able to take him on that flight. And my physician went to keep him safe.
Right,
and
because he used oxygen at the time.
Yes.
So that was one of the questions was, right, can he right. physically do this?
Right. We had to kind of lift him into the plane. But once we did, he was his old self, you know, scouting out where they could land if there was an emergency. And he was right in his zone. It was really neat to see. So that experience just was so very good for him. It seemed like it helped him work through some, on a deeper level, some of his demons and scars from the war. And it gave us a chance to thank him for his service. And he did a valiant service while he was over there, and he never was thanked. So it was an opportunity for us to do that. And I think we benefited from it because we got to hear deeply what he did to defend our country and made us admire him greatly. So,
and what I really liked is he signed off with his call sign.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah,
right. From the Vietnam War.
Yes.
I'm speaking with Kinnette McWilliam. She is a hospice social worker, Craig Kennedy, a hospice chaplain, and Becky Rudell, an RN care manager. We're talking about the We Honor Veterans program. And so we just heard this incredibly beautiful story for one of our veterans here in Idaho. How exactly does the program work then? Because it is a national program. Mm. So how did this come about here in Idaho, and how does it work, Kinnette?
Well, I am not sure the exact year that the National Healthcare Health and Palliative Care Association, as well as the VA administration, came on board with this. I want to say it was around 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. And is what they do is they have four different levels and actually have created a fifth level that can also be achieved. And it really focuses on level one is really educating your staff. Educating about the VA culture, but all the cultures, subcultures within, so that, you know, one war, Vietnam, doesn't equate to
every other war.
Right. And so the things that are unique to each of those subcultures. And then it's really building organizational capacity is the second level. And that's really trying to figure out our processes. We do what's called a military history checklist on every patient that's admitted to service. And any hospice that's enrolled in this does the same so that we can understand. The beauty of it from a social work perspective is the light goes on in a social worker's head and says, where can I get this patient? Are they tapped into the services they're entitled to? And B, if not, why not? And because some people are angry and don't want to access the services, but others don't even know it exists. So so we can help them get connected to supports in the community. Third is to strengthen our partnership with the VA Medical Center or other veteran organizations in the community. And then ultimately, it's about improving our quality of care. What I think is outstanding in the Treasure Valley, there are probably around 30 hospices here locally in the Treasure Valley, and 17 hospices here in the Treasure Valley are in the various stages, with six others being level, or five others, excuse me, being level four as we are. And I do understand that there's two agencies already in the process of working on level five. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what all that initiative looks like, but it just speaks to me in great volume that it's not only St. Luke's, but it's really our community of hospice mm-hmm. providers that mm-hmm. are also embracing yeah. these folks.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to say that because, you know, hospice is such a special field to begin with. So to let everyone know mm-hmm. that this is our hospice community mm-hmm. as a whole.
Yeah.
And Craig, as a chaplain, when someone like Dawn had this opportunity to fly for the last time, mm-hmm. A, what is it like for that individual, but what's it like for the families?
Mm. Well, I think it's validating for them. You know, as Becky said, you said he used the call sign, and mm-hmm. you said he was looking at the
places to land if there's an emergency, yeah. right?
So you go back to your training, you know, but it's just validating, it's honoring, it's understanding, recognizing, acknowledging, all that stuff that maybe was missing at times. And so, yeah, it's just letting people feel like they're seen, mm-hmm. you know, as mm-hmm. as humans and as people who served our country in a special way.
And I would think, too, especially with Vietnam veterans, as Becky, you mentioned, how they were treated when they came back mm-hmm. from the war. Thankfully, our veterans are not treated like that anymore.
Yes.
But we are also seeing more Vietnam veterans passing. Mm-hmm. So what is it like then when they finally get that acknowledgement, even at the end of their life, and that thank you?
Well, he was energized. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a turning point in his care in the sense that he was at peace. He had energy. He was bright. Like I said, he just connected with that younger self in his older age, and I think he felt good about himself, and it just was really sweet to watch. There was beautiful pictures taken, and they were passed on to his children, mm-hmm. and they got to see the news clip, or at least the
there was video,
a written
right.
copy mm-hmm. of it. Yes, mm-hmm. and so it was very, very nice for the family. I know that his wife, I've spoken to his wife, and she knows that we were going to be speaking about him today, and she told us that we really improved his quality of life, mm-hmm. and in turn, we improved her quality of life right. during his final years. Yeah. It was very nice for all of them, I believe. So there's a quote from Gary Sinise who says, "We can never thank our veterans enough for defending our country, but we can always thank them a little bit more."
There you go.
And I like that. I like that we have a natural model just in our work to find those opportunities to talk about it and thank them for what they've done. It's mm-hmm. it's rewarding to me.
And I have to say, we should note that Gary Sinise, the actor, he is a huge advocate mm-hmm. for right. veterans' rights and even yeah. and widows of military veterans. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing his name up in the conversation. And thank you yeah. for all of yes. the work that
Absolutely.
You do. It is wonderful. And truly angels on earth. And the We Honors Veterans Program is what we have been talking about today. And as Kinnett mentioned, so many of our hospice organizations here in the Treasure Valley are a part of this organization. My guest today, Kinnett McWilliams, a hospice social worker, Craig Kennedy, a hospice chaplain, and Becky Rudell, an RN case manager. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Up next, how some small Idaho communities are coming together to make sure no one goes hungry. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.